want to begin this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with, I feel like, out of these five sermons that I want to share with you. If you don't get any of the other four, before it is time for you to face up with him,
you
might want to be sure of this one. I call it the revealed face of Christ. For the last 100 years, and I'm sorry, probably us preachers are to blame. For the last 100 years, it has been propagated in our Baptist community that salvation is decision based. Just make a decision, just pray a prayer. And it is nowhere in the Bible. Absolutely no. It is about God revealing to you his face.
Amen.
How come? Face to face. What shall it be? As we begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want us to see, first of all, this revealed face. I'm talking about you praying a prayer, making a profession, joining the church, getting dunked in a baptismal pool. There's a lot riding on this. Because, see, you're only going to face up with him one time. Face to face. And he's only going to be looking for one thing. And it's not going to be whether you've gone down the Romans Road, the German Road, the French Road. He's going to be looking for one thing. What's he looking for, preacher? He's looking for his face. He's looking for his face. And I notice in this revealed face in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it involves the created face of Christ. It's a big if. You're saved this morning. God has created on your soul this morning his very face. The very image of Christ has been implanted upon your soul. Watch this face of Christ, how powerful it is. I notice in verse 3, Paul sharing with us his testimony. I notice that this face has shining power. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That the little word hid means to conceal, to veil. Do you realize this morning, and I know this may upset some of you, do you realize this morning that God has not revealed himself to everybody?
Right.
You've got friends this morning that absolutely don't see jack of what you see.
Listen.
How come? They never had the cover taken off from it.
Revealed.
It's hid to those who? He said it is hid to those that are lost.
Right.
I was interested in that little word lost. A little Greek word there is those slated for damnation. Wow. He said it is hid to them. How could it be hid? He says in verse number 4, in whom the God, little g, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe. God of this world, Satan himself, in whom? It's all inside. He says he has blinded them. That little word blinded means to fall over. I thought this was interesting, this little word blinded. It means to inflate or blow up with sail. Do you know there is a number of you sitting here this morning think you're all right? Blowed up with sail. You really think when you stand before God face to face, he's going to cut you some slack? blowed up with self. Well, who in the world's doing that? He said the devil's doing it. Blinding you. He says it in our text in verse number 6. He talks about darkness to shade over with unbelief. Two things that I have realized about salvation this morning is that it is a revelation. It is not a decision.
Right.
If you're lost this morning, the days that I was lost, Satan had me blinded. He had me swollen up with self. He had me in a fog. He had me in a shadow of unbelief. You say, well, can't you just decide? I was thinking about it, and I'm not against the little song that the kids sung this morning. It's a good song after you get saved. I have decided to follow Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're in the darkness and Satan's got you fogged over, you can't make no decision. How come? The Bible says the natural man receives not things of God. You see, the foolishness to it. See, there's some of you listening to me this morning. You say, he ain't talking to me. He's talking to them heathens out there. Shining power. But I notice in chapter 4 and verse 6, there is a shining perception. He said, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. I was interested in that little word commanded there. It is almost the exact similar word in the Greek as it was in the Hebrew when Jesus said this, let there be light. When he created the worlds, he stepped out on nothing and said, let there be light. What happened? Boom! The whole world lit up. If you're saved this morning, God said, I stepped inside of you and said, let there be light. And it exploded. I got a question for you. Do you think that your believing and the decision you made caused that burst of light inside of you? Or do you think that burst of light inside of you caused you to believe? Well, because if that burst of light caused you to believe, your believing ain't got jack to do with your salvation. It's like if I come in here and the whole building's dark and all of a sudden somebody turns on the lights, I say, wow, the lights are on. That's all I had to do with it. Was acknowledging that they're on. You say, well, preacher, don't I get to decide something? Why, sure. Let me show you in the Bible. We're talking about a shining perception. You do have your Bible, I hope. In Genesis chapter number 2. Let's see when you made your decision. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 17. Jesus told Adam and Eve, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest of there shall surely what? Die. Not a physical death, but a spiritual death. No ability to get to God. Chapter number 3. Notice the decision. You know, please forgive me, ladies. I feel like y'all have gotten a bum rap in this thing of causing sin to come into this world. Because we always allude to the fact that y'all were the first ones to eat the fruit. But here recently, I saw something in Genesis chapter 3 that knocked my socks off. I never had seen him before. Please forgive me. As long as I've been preaching, I never saw it. Look at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband. I did not know if you'd see that word or not. I thought I'd underline it. She is sitting right there fixing the pig fruit off. Where's Adam? Is he gone for a nap? No, he's standing right there. What's he waiting for? He's wanting to see if she drops or not.
Well, yes.
The strong man that he was. If she goes down, I ain't eating that fruit. Hello. She didn't go down. So he got him some. She decided for all the ladies. There's your decision, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And he decided for all the men.
Oh.
Now they're both in this garden.
Yeah.
The scripture said, I didn't take time to read it. They're now both alone.
Yes.
Separated from God. Yes. Neither one of them can get to God now. If God don't come to them, they're going to hell as good as where they're sitting. Are you listening to me this morning? There's some of you sitting here this morning and made decisions, prayed prayers, joined churches, and been baptized, and you still going up in hell. How come? No face. Face to face. What shall it be? What shall it be? I'm talking about the shining perception of Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter number 5, he said, death has passed on just the Presbyterian. He said, death has just passed on the Catholics. Death has just passed on the Democrats. He said that in the Living Bible. He said, death has passed upon all men.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you come out of your mama's womb, you dead.
Yeah.
You can't get to God.
Right.
I don't care how many decisions you make. I don't care how many prayers you pray. I don't care what you join. You can join all the foreign legions. You can join all the clubs. You can join all the churches. Ain't going to help you.
Right.
Shining perception. Back in our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there is a shining possession. He says in chapter 4 and verse number 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light, the knowledge, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you're saved this morning, when God stepped inside of you and commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he said he stamped his face on your soul.
Oh my.
Preacher, what is he looking for when I face him up? He's not looking but for one thing. He's wanting to see if he'll see him saved.
Oh my.
And I'm going to tell you something, honey. If he don't see himself, the next word you're going to hear is depart from me. I never know you. Wow. Face to face, what shall it be? Matter of fact, he says in verse number 7, but we have this. What's the this?
Yeah.
This face. You know what my favorite Christmas carol is? It is the only Christmas carol got any doctrine to it. All the rest of them, you know, angels flying around, silent night. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Adam's likeness now effaced, stamped by image in its place. Are you listening to me this morning? I asked you this morning, has there ever been a time when God created a whole new world in you, lit you up where darkness cannot comprehend it, and stamped the very image of his son on your soul? He says we have this treasure. He says here in an earthen vessel. Wow. That little word, earthen, there is the little word dirt. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? The little word vessel is our little word for bag. What? Hey, honey, did that preacher just call me a dirt bag? Yeah, you got it. You said, well, I'm cute. You just a cute dirt bag. Hey, hon, if they don't get embalmed you quick, you are going back to the dirt. And if they ever open that box and some air get to you, you'll crumble so quick, I don't even care if you got your makeup on. You're going down. How come? Nothing but dirt.
Oh.
He says, I have stamped that image deep on your heart. See, I see this morning there in verse number 7, he says that the excellency of the power may be of God through us. See, salvation this morning is all about what God did. That's why we stand amazed. You can't stand amazed about making some decision, some profession, joining something, but you can stand amazed if God has created a whole new world in you. No wonder Paul said, he says that God has created in me a whole new world. If I be in Christ, I am a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. There is the created face. Are you still with me? Look in 2 Corinthians, if you would, chapter number 3. I'm talking about the reveal. Well, preacher, how can I be sure? How can I be sure? Because I want to be sure before face to face. What shall it be? Well, be sure. Man, I'd hate to get right there to find out I haven't got your face down there. How can I be sure? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, not only is this revealed face involved the created face of Christ, but it involves the changing face of Christ. If we have the image of God stamped upon our inward man, God dwells inside of us. At some time or another, whatever's in here ought to get out here. The old black woman used to say, if God's in you, he gets on the outside of you. I was wondering, do you ever catch your mate or catch your children or your grandchildren acting like God much? Ruh-roh. Are you listening to me? I tell you, if we're really saved this morning, you ought to be able to see your mate or your children or your grandchildren from time to time.
Oh.
God.
Yes.
Having his qualities, his characteristics. But you say, preacher, if God's dwelling inside of me, how can I enhance that? How can I get him from the inside to the outside? Notice what Paul said about 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. I noticed that it involves a metamorphosed face. He says, but we all with open face. I was interested in that little word, open face. This is so good, I hate to even show it to you. It means to take off your mask. When you take that mask off, that flesh off, do you see Jesus? That little word open face means to make that which is on the inside to come to the outside. I'm sure sure this is not true of you, probably just true of me. Do you know oftentimes God will apply pressure to the outside of me? And you know what comes out of me? Tom. Wow. Don't ever tell somebody, just be yourself. Gracious, you don't want me being myself. You'll not like it. Are you listening to me this morning? Pressure's applied. Whatever you'll find this in a marriage situation. If your mate's full of themselves, just let some pressure be applied. And here it comes. Huh? Open face. I don't know about you. You know what I'm interested in? I'm interested in being so full of Him that pressure's applied. That out of me would come, and my mate and my grandchildren would say, man, did you see him? He's fighting hell by the acre. And Jesus was oozing out of him. I saw Christ in him. How can that be? Not only must there be a metamorphosis, but look at verse 18 again. There must be a mirrored face. If Christ is dwelling inside of me, His very image is stamped upon Him, how can I put Tom down? How can I enhance Christ so when the pressure's applied to me, Christ will come forth from me? How can it be? He says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass. I was interested in that little word glass. It is our little word mirror. What? Mirror. Did you know that James compares this book to a mirror? You got your Bibles here real quick. I know it's getting late, and I know preacher always gets you out before 12. But we're just going to get out a little later today. It won't hurt anything. James, real quick, chapter number 1. He says in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Preacher, I want to be full of God when the pressure's applied to the outside of me. See, you're going to face a lot of things down the road. Man, I tell you what, long before I get there and face to face with Him, what shall it be? I want to see that face come out of me. How in the world am I going to be able to do that? You're going to have to spend a lot of time, lots of time looking in the mirror of the Word of God. Watch the text. Don't take my word for it. Look at James. He says in verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth. I did not know if you'd see that word. Long periods of time. You ladies know what I'm talking about. Long periods of time. You look in the mirror. I had a son. My middle boy, he was a mirror freak. Mirror freak. He had one mirror that he looked at himself from the neck up. I have even caught him in there looking in his nuts. You boogers in there. That did good for some of you. You got some boogers in there. They'll come out of you. Somebody say boo. You listen to me. He had another mirror where he looked at himself from the waist. He had another full-length mirror where he checked himself totally mirror free. The other day, I was in Ashburn, North Carolina. I was in the mall walking, minding my own business. There was another gentleman in the mall walking. Eyes, without putting him on any skates, I believe he weighed at least 400 plus. He had on a pair of orange Nike shorts. Short. I feel like, because I'm big, I know what sizes are. I feel like he would wear at least between a 4 and a 5X shirt. He had on a small. Everything from right here down was out.
Oh my.
I made a statement to her, and we cracked up. I said, there ain't no way he got no mirror in his house. He didn't look in that mirror and say, man, wow, this is good. All of that hanging out, don't that look good? See, that's one of the reasons why often I don't want to spend long periods of time in this book. Because this book ain't never told me you looking good.
That's right.
I have never got in this book and this book said, woo, boy, you look good this morning. You probably ought to just stop serving Jesus. You done got so good, you can stop now. No. Every time I get in this book, I catch glimpses of his face and I realize how rotten I am, how ungodly I am. See, if you're going to enhance, if you're going to shrink, see, self, Satan wants self to swell up. If you're going to shrink self and you're going to blow up Jesus, you're going to have to spend much time in this. So here's my thought. There is a good chance that his face has never been stamped on your soul if there's no desire to get in this book. And for some of you, you'll never see it so clearly as when you stand face to face. What shall it be? What shall it be? I'm talking about the changing face of Christ. It involves a metamorphosis face, a mirrored face. Then it involves a manifested face. Did you see what he says in chapter 3 and verse 18? As you keep looking in this glass, studying in this glass, looking in this mirror to see what Jesus is like. He said you're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. More time I spend in this book, more time I look in this mirror, I want to look in it by myself. I want my wife and I to get together and we look in it together. I want to pray by myself. Then I want to get together with my wife and pray. How come we want to enhance that image inside of us? So when pressure's applied, it will be manifested in us, changing. Got your Bible. One last thing and I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. The revealed face. Has Christ stamped his image in your soul? How can I know, preacher? You have got an overwhelming desire to get in the mirror and look, to enhance that image, to blow up that image, to shrink self. Do you have an insatiable desire to get in the book? If you do, it's because that image has been stamped on your heart. If you don't, please don't wait till you stand face to face. Find out you do not have that image on your soul. Created face, the changing face, but last of all, 1 Corinthians 13:12. There is the completed face. The completed face. I notice in this completed face, it involved for me a cloudy view. A cloudy view. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly, cloudy. The little word is the enmea of a mirror. I noticed this morning after I took a shower, I couldn't see that well in the mirror. How come? It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get this maybe over your head. It was fogged up. Wow. I had to clear it off. When I first got saved, first came to the Lord, had a desire to get in the Bible, a lot of things to me was cloudy. I couldn't understand a lot of it. It seemed like in those beginning days, I'd get around people and they'd understand so much. And I would understand so little. It just seemed like I was looking through a cloud darkly. But I kept looking in the mirror. Kept looking in the mirror. Some of the things I just had to take them by faith. I couldn't see Jack. But then I started experiencing some things. Somebody started clearing the mirror off. Wow. Oh, I moved from just taking it at face value. I began to experience things. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, come on, I'd stick my nose in your business. How much of this have you got under your belt that you have experienced? I tell you, preacher, this verse, preacher, let me show you. God made this verse really real to me. Oh, this verse over here, cool, gracious, that just blowed up to me when I experienced it.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it for myself. Completed phase. It involves a cloudy view. But I notice in our text, in verse number 12, for now we see through a glass, but then face to face. For I know in part. I see not only is there a cloudy view, but there is a captivating view. I begin, as I kept looking in this mirror, first of all, it just looked cloudy to me. I needed somebody to clear the fog off. But after a while, I started seeing part of Jesus. You'll never see the whole. I just saw the parts. Wow. Do you remember the Queen of Sheba? When she came down to visit Solomon, she told Solomon, she said, somebody told me a lot about you. But she said, once I got down here and experienced it, she said, they didn't tell me half of it. And she made this statement. She said, and her spirit inside of her, that little word spirit, is our little word hyperventilate. What? When she saw just part of Solomon, she asked him, she said, have you got a paper sack? I need to catch me a breath. I wonder, when is the last time you claimed to be saved? You saw just a part of Jesus. And you say, let's take a break in the service. I got to catch my breath. I'm standing amazed. I don't know what you think of it. I believe the sister back here was looking for the paper bag while they were singing. How come? She saw part of the whole.
Yeah, right.
Please tell me you have not seen a part of the whole and it did this to you.
Because
you ain't seen Jack.
That's it. Yep.
There is a captivating view. But I noticed last of all in verse 12, there is a clear view. He said, but then shall I know even also as I've known. One day, I'm going to see him face to face. Preacher, what's he going to be looking for? He's going to look and see if you're a mirror.
Yeah.
Looking to see if you, oh yeah, they can pray the sinner's prayer, they can go on in. Oh, they were pretty good. Oh, they were a member of Trinity. Oh, long time member. Praise the Lord, let them on in.
Right.
Hey, looking for one thing, his face.
Right. Oh yeah.
If he doesn't see it, you are in trouble. Paul said, I long for that day. I love what David said about it in Psalm 17. David said, I look forward to the day, and he says, I'll be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. David said, I can't wait for him to look at me and see himself. Whoa. I was thinking about what the old songwriter said. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face. What will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Will this be a mystery to you? Or will this be the story of your life? The songwriter said, what rejoicing in his presence. When are banished grief and pain? When the crooked ways are straightened, the dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold him far beyond the stars. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Do you this morning have evidence that God has stepped inside of you and created a whole new world inside of you, stamped his image upon your heart? The evidence of it, a continual desire to look in the mirror of the Word of God. When you see him face to face, will he look and see himself and say, welcome home, child. Welcome home. Or will he look and see nothing but you and say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew. I don't know you. I don't know about you. I want to know that image. And I want to spend much time in this mirror. Christ might be manifested in me.